Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Podcast Network Asia.
Honestly, I don't have any intention to grow my salt business. I just want to buy salt and sell it to my brother in my small town. No? But when my competitors saw it, they really slashed the price. So if my capital is 40 plus delivery tracking of 65, they were selling at 50. That was their way.
They want to kill your business even at a loss. Parang ganyan.
That was their way of killing the new competitor.
And good evening, good afternoon, good morning to wherever you are watching from all over the Philippines and from all over the world. My name is RJ Ledesma and welcome to my podcast, the RJ Ledesma Podcast. In the RJ Ledesma Podcast, I like to interview the country's pioneering business personalities and trailblazing entrepreneurs to learn more about how they think about doing business, what are their success secrets, how have they innovated their businesses, especially during this pandemic? But more importantly, how are they continuing to find rather new opportunities emerging during this new normal? Now, do me a favor. Is there a business personality or entrepreneur that you would like me to interview here on the podcast? Please do let me know. Just drop me a message. You can drop me a message on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn or Instagram. I would love to hear from them and learn from these other pioneers in business. We are also live right now on Kumu and on YouTube. Tonight, another pioneering individual and serial entrepreneur. We have the CEO of Mober, Dennis Nang. Mober is a Manila-based tech logistic firm that pioneered green delivery here in the Philippines. It aims to be the leading green logistics company and delivery provider in Southeast Asia by becoming the largest operator of delivery EVs in the region, or electric vans here in the region. It was established back in July 2015 by serial entrepreneur and Ernst & Young trained auditor Dennis Nam. With an 80-person team, including delivery drivers, Mober having had explosive growth in the delivery sector over the past several years, is well positioned to pioneer electric van deployments here in the Philippines. I am very interested to find out how he's going to go about that one. Please welcome on the show, Mr. Dennis Nang. Dennis, welcome to the show. Great to finally have you over here.
Thank you, RJ. Thank you for having me here. Congrats, podcast mo.
Thanks so much, Idol Dennis. Really great to have you over here. It's a fantastic story sa Mober. Alam mo, it's so hard to parang encapsulate into one sentence kung anong ginagawa ng Mober. Like I usually say on the show, there are many aspiring entrepreneurs. They're going to be making their pitches to big startup, investors and to joint ventures or to whoever. What would you explain in an elevator pitch? What is Mober all about?
So when we started Mober, we were solving a problem for SMEs, right? 2015. Let's go back to 2015. If you wanna rent a delivery van, you cannot find a delivery van. You have to go to Yellow Pages, right? So during those time, they started disrupting the transport section, right? We have the Uber there, we have the Grab doing the booking. So I realized, why not come up with something that can help the SMEs, no? So we can share the delivery van and help and give the SME a power to grow their business, no? through deliveries. So we started like that, some Uber.
Got that. And later we'll discuss a bit more about what I call the secret origin of Mober, no? But like what I said, usually when we talk to older people about disrupting, it's not something that's in their DNA. Hindi sila lumaki na ganyan pinag-uusap sa negosyo. If we were to simplify the discussion, I was to tell my late dad, "Dad, this is what Mober does." how do I explain to people in a very layman term what does Mober do and how does Mober make money?
Okay, yeah. Kung kailangan mo ng delivery van, punta ka lang sa cellphone mo, magbuka lang ng delivery van, darating yung driver. So ganun kasimple, right? I mean, for my parents, like my mom, they did not grow up with smartphone, no? So now, mas madali i-explain, like, gusto niyo ba mag-order ng food? You just go to app, you book for a delivery van, no? So same like with Mober, no? So this is how we started. This is how we make money, that we take commission from a driver, owner, na gustong makakuha ng negosyo, no? So delivery. So we help them grow their business by giving them delivery bookings, then we take 20% commission. That was until 2018, no? 2019. But now we move on. Mober has changed or pivoted. Nagpalit na kami ng business model ngayon.
Great. And I think what's going to be very informative for people as they're listening to our podcast is if they see actually your entrepreneurial journey at yung mga pivot na ginagawa mo. And, you know, because sometimes the first business model that you have is not the final business model that you have. It continues to iterate. Tama ba ako dyan, Dennis? Because I'm sure you can commiserate with me when I say that, di ba?
Well, yes, agree, no, RJ. Any entrepreneur, any businessman, no, we don't measure success with financial rewards, no. We there's so many measurement for success, no. So hindi lang dapat financially rewarded, no. So on my journey, when I started my negosyo before, maraming failures, no. Pero with that failures, we become tougher, no. We learn from our experiences, and we apply it to the next ventures. That if we fail, then we apply it again to the next ventures, and then we are able to find a niche market or a niche business. So, talaga para sa atin.
Yeah. So we never perceive failure as sort of like failure is not the final step. Failure is just part of the process.
Yes, agree.
And I think that's a difficult one for many of us to swallow, especially the first time that you failed. It's difficult, but you just kind of have to say, okay, how does it help me out in the future? Am I right?
Yes, agree.
Got that. Now, I want to go a bit more into the background of Mober because it's very interesting when people start to see how you piece things together and it all starts to make sense. But I guess starting off, you know, I want to talk about a bit more about your entrepreneurial background because many people, you know, I'm very fortunate to have a lot of Filipino-Chinese friends and they did grow up with that sort of entrepreneurial background. Right? Like they say, oftentimes the difference between growing up in a Filipino household versus a Filipino-Chinese household, pag Filipino, they often say to you, parang, what is your work now? Are you already engineer ka ba? Na-promote ka na ba? Are you president of the are you vice president of the company? But when you come to a Filipino-Chinese family, ano negosyo mo na? What business do you own? What have you put up? What tell me a bit more about, you know, your family background when you were being raised. Were you being raised in the sort of background where you had to become an entrepreneur or you were working in a, what people often say GI, a genuine for lack of a better term, it's called GI. I know it's called genuine in chick, which just means that you work for a very traditional Filipino business like hardware, right?
Yes. So I think you mentioned that I was a trained EY auditor, right? But as a trained EY auditor, kwada yan, middle of my career na. No? So my entrepreneurship mindset no, started when I was still in elementary. I grew up in Bicol. I'm a Bicolano. So, well, my parents, my grandfather, they're well off naman. But kaya lang, we were raised by my mom na maging masinop at maging trained sa negosyo. I remember when I was still elementary, grade 6. In our school, it's a small school, Filipino-Chinese school, wala kami security guard. So may student police kami. So I always volunteer as a student police because pero parati kami 5 minutes lead time, no? Labas kami ng 5 minutes to check first yung surroundings. So kami nagbabantay ng gate. But my intention then was, paglabas ko ng 5 minutes before, every from grade 5 to 4th year, may ahente ako sa loob. You know, when you say ahente, kasi during my time, mahirap humingi ng baon. So I have to find ways on how to make baon, more income, di ba? So our negosyo sa Bicol was we do a wholesaling, no? We sell salt, we sell flour, we sell sugar. So we sell that small town in Tabaco City. So my mom, in the morning, siya magdi-deliver. Paghapon naman, after school, ako and my brother, we go to the palengke to collect yung dineliver ng mom namin. So we collect na sa bayan. So yung buong public market sa Tabaco Albay, kilala namin yung mga nagtitinda. So I have a special rate. I buy some bukayo. No, I mean for to start with, we sell bukayo in the school. No, may ahente ako, RJ, from grade 6 to high school, I sell. No, I use that background. No, when I was in elementary, then one day I was called in the principal office saying, "Hey, isusumbong." Sabi ng principal namin, isusumbong kita sa lolo mo. Said, "Anong ginawa ko?" So you're selling something like this. So, because I was young, I never realized mali pala yung nag-negosyo, di ba? So true enough, I was called by my grandfather, said, Dennis, when you are in school, you focus in studying. No? Gusto mo mag-negosyo, fine, but it's not time for you to negosyo. Because one thing that he mentioned to me that I cannot forget now, what you're doing is unfair competition. Because canteen pays rent. Canteen, meron tao na binabayaran. So, you're selling something na ikaw lang. So, it's unfair competition. So, you stop doing that. So, that was the start of my entrepreneur mindset. In fact, it did not stop there, RJ. Since marami kaming customers sa palengke, that time, wala pang plastic. We used old newspaper to balot. Yung mga tinapa, yung mga gano'n, right? So, for us to make more money, every Saturday, me and my brother, dala namin yung karikton may timbangan, we go around, no? And buy newspaper. Buy newspaper so we can sell it to our customer. Whatever money we make, my mom gave us pang dagdag sa baon. So, dun ako nagsimula. So, then after the journey, yes, my mindset, then I studied accounting. Then after accounting, the reason why I joined EY, no, Ernst & Young, that was then po nung bayan in Orolio. Na sila yung
this was your first job out of college, accounting?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Question, were you in Bicol or did you move to Manila for university?
I graduated from Bicol, then I moved to Manila. So that's my first job, sa Ernst & Young.
Okay.
The secret then was, I don't want to really go to a corporate world. The reason why I joined Ernst & Young that time, because accounting ako by profession, I'm accountant by profession. Gusto kong makita kung ano yung mga negosyong magandang markup, ano magandang. Because as an auditor, putting yourself, alam mo kung ano yun. Yun, nakita mo, yan yung dugtong ng pagiging entrepreneur mindset. It's like, I wanna do another business, ano kaya yung negosyong yun? Diba? So I use that, no?
But I have a question for you at this point, no? Kasi marami rin nakikinig dito ngayon who are also like they are in work, no? Because that was actually when I worked for I worked for Procter & Gamble. For me naman, that was my because I did business and then economics. I thought that, you know, to get training from Procter & Gamble was great for marketing. And since you're taught to, it's like running your own mini company, it would be great to get that skill set to stay long enough, just to learn enough to move out. But not everybody's got the same mentality. What do you say to people right now? I mean, to that generation right now who are actually working, should they stay in the company forever? Should they leave? What should they consider when they are they want to become entrepreneurs, yeah, but they're working for a company?
So for my journey, you know, so my mindset was to look for a business. What is a good margin business? Ano yung magandang negosyo? That's the reason why I went to corporate, no. But one unfortunate thing for me, as entrepreneurs, I did not, I wasn't able to get the skill, no? Yung gusto mong skill that, yeah, you work for Procter & Gamble, you wanna take a look at the marketing, yung my skill, the best practices, right? For me, that's, when I went there, I just make sure to find anong negosyo gusto ko. So that's why I stayed there for one season. That's a very short season, tax season. Mm-hmm. No? But again, For those advice na gusto mangyari, I'll just give example. Those co-workers that we have in Mober, no, yung mga tao natin sa Mober, they're working sa Mober. I've been mentoring. I'm telling them, when you work and join Mober, we mentor you. Diba? We don't treat you as an employee, but we mentor. Like you treat this like a startup then. So because we want them to start their own business, right? You learn, then you build your own startup, then you learn from us, diba? So this is how we treat our co-worker sa Mober, no? Yeah. Again, so yung mga nag-work, I mean, you learn this skill. Because those skills, libre, that's your MBA, no? Then if you start like your own business, then at least kaya mong gawin, diba? So all you have to do is like find a problem, then do a solution, then you have the skill na mas madali, mas advantageous yun sa'yo kaysa sa ibang magsisimula pala.
I love that, Dennis. Thank you so much. Because also very, you know, for many people that this is where they're sort of like in the middle of the road right now. They're kind of stuck over there. Can I ask you one more question before we move on to talking about your journey in entrepreneurship? It's about mentorship, especially in your own business, which I find very important. Because, you know, people can be two minds of mentorship when you work for a company. Siyempre, pag minamenta mo yung tao, ibig sabihin, alis yan, alis yung tao na yan, baka lahat ng skills na in-invest mo sa kanya, all the hard work, will also go with that person out, and then all of a sudden, you're left with a vacuum in the company to fill that slot. How should people perceive na it's okay to mentor the company and for these people to maybe even graduate from you? How do we, as business owners, how should we think about that?
Okay, RJ, you're right. No? Sometimes it's really hard now to find good people in the company, no? To stay with you, with passion, with you. No? So for me, I think the mentorship is like this. Ang mindset is I'm not afraid for them to leave and start their own business. Right? The point here is like I always come back to myself that say, hey, I'm not getting young. I'm a very old founder. So the thing I have to prepare the succession in a way that may maraming matagal na sa akin na they know how I think, they know how a startup works, right? A long journey where we are now, no? So I always think that if I can mentor them and they can start their own startup, no? Ako ang unang mag-invest. Meaning, I mean, you can start your own startup. I can invest a little bit, right? To push your acid money nakuha mo. But if they think that like okay, natutunan ako sa iyo, then I leave and I work for another startup, then I think I will feel bad. Because I want to train you, mentor you, and you start your own startup, diba? So I'll be your mentor tuloy-tuloy, then I can be your investor. You know mindset.
Yes, I love that. That for me is quite a revelation of how people should think about it. It's a parang virtuous cycle yan, diba? Help people start up more startups. Have them go to you to mentor. So what they're really picking from you is not so much the hard skills, but rather the soft skills of how to think like an entrepreneur, how to do risk taking, how to put up your own, how to run your own company. Then when you open it up, I'll invest in your company, pa, di ba?
Yes. So mangyari dyan, you grow it, not just collect your. I just make sure that your valuation grows. Then so I can have a good return. I mean, ganun lang eh, cycle lang, di ba?
Fantastic. So let's go back now to your own journey. So you were in EY for one season, and then you left. Did you leave because you resigned? You want to move on to entrepreneurship? What happened at that point? If you don't mind me asking.
I left because I was asking EY or Punong Bayan before yung scheduler nila. I remember that. Can you give me more accounts rather than giving me a big account like an insurance company na wala naman akong interest na magkaroon ng insurance. So it was really confusing to the scheduler. Then I know that, what? Why are you looking for more accounts, small accounts rather than one? Like, because that's my mindset, RJ. No? But that time, hindi ako pinagbigyan. Okay, dito ka lang sa insurance. And I was a really junior, no? A junior dun nila pinagbigyan. So I resigned. I left. So after I left, RJ, I started my own salt business.
So, asin business.
Yes.
Okay.
Remember, we sell salt from the province, right? So we buy from a wholesaler sa Manila.
Okay. Yeah. So what made you go into the? I mean, for me, I mean the obvious logic there is that it's a business you are familiar with. That's why you went into it. But is that the reason why? Just that you could were you doing that because you want to get into the salt business, or is because you were passing the time to wait for another business that you would come up with?
It just so happened that after my 10 years with Ernst & Young Punong Bayan and before, I realized that yung mga nakita kong negosyo, like a burger chain than a chichiria chain. So when I take a look, I really need a big capital for that. You know, we have to set up, we have a big capital. And that time, I don't know where to find those capital. Mm-hmm. So I realized that, we're doing salt business in the province. And as seen on RJ Mura Mura, I mean, I asked my mom for a loan, advance. I remember that was 40,000 pesos. I was able to buy 1,000 sacks of kaban ng asin, ha? Kaban patawag na. So the journey was, I went to Bulacan. Naghanap ako ng asinan doon. So I bought 1,000 bags. They called it one kaban at 40,000 pesos. So my experience then was because I was exposed to corporate, no? Itong mga big accounts. Ang ginawa ko sa asin, I put a color code, no? Because ang salt business then was may maputi, mga crystal salt, may mga hindi maputi masyado, may mga hindi maputi talaga. So for me to mix everything, sayang, hiniwalay ko. Ang sinasabi ko doon sa mga nag-aasin sack, o yung mga maputi, ilagay nyo sa blue sack. Yung mga hindi masyado maputi, ilagay mo sa green sack. Yung mga hindi maputi, ilagay mo sa yellow. So I put that color coding. No? That was the industry first before, if I'm not mistaken. Kasi dati, ilagay mo lang sa puting sako, okay na. So doon ko
yun yung parang service innovation mo. Yung product innovation mo.
Yes, yun. Kasi salt is a commodity, you know. It's a commodity. The cheapest commodity. No? So you have to innovate, no? So I was able to come up with a better price for a good quality, no? So that time, walang brand. Yung mga kalaban natin, walang brand. Basta sinabi asin. So ako, tinatakan ko ng initial ko, DN. I'm Dennis Nang. So initial, DN. So that was the first salt I sent to Bicol, to my brother. Then my competitor saw it. Then, doon ako na-trained. I was trained in an environment where in the price, competing price war is really very active, no? So when I sent it to Bicol, my competitor saw it. Honestly, I don't have any intention to grow my salt business. I just want to buy salt and sell it to my brother in my small town. No? But when my competitor saw it, they really slashed the price. So if my capital is 40 plus delivery tracking of 65, they were selling at 50. That was their way.
They want to kill your business even at a loss. Parang ganyan.
That was their way of killing the new competitor. So after that, wala akong nagawa. I had to find buyers from another city. Then may bumili sa akin. They started selling bagsak doon. So until scandal, buong Pilipinas, one day, buong Pilipinas, hindi na nila mabagsak yung presyo because I'm present na sa buong Pilipinas that time. It was really fast, wow. RJ. I mean, the salt business then was on a sunset. It was a sunset industry, no? Because the Cavite salt farm naging real estate na eh.
Ah, diba? Interesting. So the
Cavite, I mean,
mid-80s, di ba? Mga mid-80s.
Yeah? Yes. You grew up in Manila, I grew up in Bicol. So I think Cavite then, talagang salt farm. So ngayon, naging real estate na. So wala nang asinan. Natira asinan sa Bulacan. And geographically, when you buy salt from Bulacan and send it over to Davao, ang layo, ang mahal. Yeah. So ganun. Then there was a time, RJ, that we were hit by La Niña. Nalakas at ulan ng ulan. So we cannot produce salt. So those were the time that I was so worried. Ito yung worry ng isang entrepreneur, RJ, that wala tayong malaking kapital, saan tayo maghanap ng asin. So we have to be very creative, no? So what I did before, we imported salt from India. When we imported salt from India, hindi siya container, buong barko. That's around 300,000 sacks. That much, no? So ang ginawa ko doon, as an entrepreneur, no? Because you want to survive. You want this negosyo, di ba? Ang ginawa ko doon, I already found kung sino yung mga customer na magandang magbayad, magandang partner. What I did was a servicing, no? I said, okay, advance mo sa akin yung payment. I just patong you a service fee. Then I'll be the one buying from India and make sure pagdating ng barko dito, you can sell. That was a commission-based before, no? So I did that, no? Until the asin law came, there's a Republic 18172 na even the rock salt, kailangan na i-iodize.
Iodize,
oh. So that time, iba na yung playing field because when you import salt in outside the origin state, meaning inayodized natin, no? Even it's a rock salt, may VAT na. You have to pay VAT. But if you import it an original state, VAT free. And that time, I know I have competitors, then apat kami. The three of them really big was lobbying sa Congress and saying, no, dapat pag gusto nyo iodized, but VAT free. And me, sitting on the other side of the congressional hearing, ako lang yung nagsasabi sa mga congressman, Your Honor, hindi nyo pwedeng tanggalin ang VAT. Kasi pag tinanggal nyo ang VAT, sunset industry na, kawawa naman yung mga farmers natin. Papatayin pa nila yung presyo kung walang VAT. Diba? So, three against one. And I was talking to this congressman, honorable congressman, they're all from Bicol. I remember, sila Congressman Salceda, Congressman Salceda, na sabi niya, iho, ba't ayaw mo ng VAT? Tanggalin. Sabi ko sa kanila, if you go to Palengke, ang isang takal lang asin 5 pesos. Pag nanggalo natin yung VAT, pag magagarantiya nila sa atin na yung isang takal 4.50 na lang, then by all means, tanggalin natin yung VAT. So tinanong niya, kaya niyo ba i-guarantee? Hindi. So hindi. Ended up, hindi nila tinanggal yung VAT. So we had to iodize it. So in short, that was a really, I don't want to use the word bloody competition. Then I think I was in the salt industry for 12 years.
Well, 12 years, that's quite a parang 12 rounds yan ng boxing because yes. it's a heavy competition. I mean, heavy competition finding different areas to sell salt, di ba? I mean, for me, that was parang that's a tough business.
All over. All over. I will tell you that I experienced na literally natutunaw yung pera mo. Yung literally, may yung pressure na, ay, natunaw yung pera, right? Ganon, di ba? Literally, I remember I had this shipment in Subic. Kasi ang asin, walang gusto magparent ng bodega kasi kinakalawang. So ang asin namin, gabundok. Mountains of white salt. We just cover it with tarpaulin. Yon.
Wow.
Tapos when we go there, we use dump truck to load. Then dun kami nagsasako din. So dun sa ilalim, no, may mga 3 feet na madumi asin. Dinadaanan lang. So yung mga asin na ganun, ang bumibili, like yung mga patis, toyo. Because they just tunaw it, the asin, they get the brine, no? Then after that, they clean. So they just buy those dirty salts na dati, no? So alam mo, inabot ako ng Baguio sa Subic. Yung ilalim ng perimeter namin na tibag, no? You can see, literally, the bundok ng asin bumababa ng buhok. Kasi yung tubig sa ilalim.
Wow. Yeah.
I was talking to a lot of tao, ligin natin sandbag. Wala, we're not ready for that. We're just praying that matapos na yung ulan. That was literally tunaw. That's what I'm saying, that ang negosyo sometimes, not for everybody, dapat matatag din ang dibdib mo. And that time, RJ, I'm using other people's money because I have other investors. Diba? So I have to explain to them anong nangyari, bravely to tell them, then be ready kung anong sigawan ka, whatever. You have to really be prepared for that. No?
Be and prepared lang, di ba?
Yes. That mindset was, okay, what happened after this one? Saan ako babawi? Those were the things. Yes. No? Yun dapat ang kwan. Nandiyan na yan eh. Wala tayong magagawa. Paano tayo babawi? So those are the...
Paano tayo babawi?
Yes, those are the next thing, right? But again, on the 12th round of my negosyo, ended up, I was buying salt from my competitor. I'm buying those maduming asin, di ba? So, can you imagine, RJ, as an entrepreneur, and you've been there for number two as a player, then now you're buying from them, makikita mo yung, wala, patay na si Dennis. I mean, it's the end of Dennis' salt industry. He's buying from us, from importing salt, now buying from us. Ang hindi nila alam, I'm buying their dirty salt at a very cheap price, then I created a salt washery. Alam mo, nag-built ako ng salt washery. Yung, alam mo ba na ang salt pwede ihugas?
Talaga?
Yes. So because the salt has sodium chloride. No? The salt is maalat siya. Tapos pag hinugasan mo ng brine water, yung maalat na tubig, matutunaw niya yung surface. Yung surface ang madumi. Tapos yung resulta nun, ang puting asin. So from there, I started branding salt. I sell sa supermarket. So doon na lang ako, retail ng brand. Profitable. The margin was really good. But again, it's me. It's not me. So ang worry ko na lang that time was yung I used to have eight tao sa team. No, I'm just really doing it because para sa kanila, no. One day they told me, Dennis, we're okay. Don't worry about us. I mean, we're okay. So sabi ko sa kanya, anyone want to continue the salt business? Whatever we save, ano pa meron? Pautangin ko na lang kayo. You continue. Then one day, that's it. I mean, parang yung passion mo nawala sa asin, di ba? So, nawala. As in, nawala. No idea what to
do. You just left the business. Parang you left it because it wasn't you. Parang how do you describe why your heart wasn't in it? Or how would you describe that?
Well, again, there will be a time, RJ, that yung isang negosyo, parang bigla na lang nawala yung passion mo. Parang, when I woke up in the morning, wala na. I mean, gone. Maybe because the sign from my team telling me we're okay, don't worry about us. Then again, no. But maybe also a divine intervention because I've been praying that kung akin pa to, give me the passion, ituloy natin. Pag hindi na akin, let's just give you a sign na wala. No? That was a day that I woke up that I was telling my mom, okay, ma, I don't want to continue. And one, alam ko lang na sabi ng nanay ko, see, I told you, tigas ng ulo mo. Ngayon ka lang na-realize. Yeah. So that was the end of my salt career, RJ.
And then what happened next? So, I mean, this is interesting. It was a really great story, Dennis. So yes. Much to learn from there because people are going right now, am I talking to the CEO of Mober or not? So, diba? Then green EVs. But what was next? What was your next journey from there? So, you're an entrepreneur from salt. Yung may next yung magazine publishing na ba?
Yes.
O, paano natahiyan?
So, after that day na sinabi yung ayaw ko na, my sister kasi lives in Hong Kong and she has this store sa Hong Kong selling Philippine products for the Filipino OFW natin. OFW, di ba? Yung every Sunday there. So, my sister has a store there. So, my mom said, okay, take a break. Maybe visit your sister. Paya lang. So I went there, was hoping to stay there for a week, something like this. So I went there, my sister saw me, sabi niya, oh, kuya, nandito ka. Ikaw muna magkaha, ako magbabakasyon. So instant ako yung magpapahinga para mag-isip kung anong gagawin ko. Sinabi niya, oh, ikaw maging cashier, siya magbabakasyon. So ako nagkaha sa tindahan. So when I was doing the kaha, a lot of OFW buying. Then I saw this newspaper. There's a newspaper in Hong Kong. They call it The Sun. The Sun. It's a newspaper. Ang kapal, no? Ang binounce ko, ang daming ads and libre. Pinibigay na libre. So, nang tinignan ko, I mean, nag-pop na as an entrepreneur, pwede to. Walang kalaban. Probably the market is big for you to enter, to compete, right? Parang ganun. So, saan ako nanggaling? Nanggaling ako sa competition, na-realize ko, papasok ko dito, babagsak ko yung presyo. That was my instinct because I've been in that industry for 12 years. Na, yun ang mindset, no? But amazing, no? It was a different idea na naisip ko, why should I do something like that, similar, to compete, no? Nanggaling na ako sa competition. Ang ginawa ko, I saw my sister used to be, was the number one distributor of Yes Magazine, may Showbiz Magazine. So sabi ko, may value yung magazine, binibili ng $20. Kinikip nila, di ba? So naisip ko, why not come up with a Showbiz Magazine na libre? With a street value, when the pass-on rate will be very high. Okay, so for the listener, so yung mga millennials, hindi na kayo masyadong nakita ng Showbiz Magazine. During our time, ang libangan ng mga OFW sa Hong Kong, Showbiz Magazine. Oh. They're very lonely, homesick. They want to libang. Walang internet before. Diba? So, just magazine. So, then I started with Chismax Magazine. There. Started sa Hong Kong with a mindset of free newspaper, a free magazine, made money from advertising. No? Then eventually, I grew that magazine. We published in Hong Kong, Singapore, Guam, Tokyo, and yung pinaka last was LA. I had this franchise. They paid a franchise fee for 3 years. Then on a monthly fee, they pay us a content fee. Then sila na maghanap ng ads. Then we spit the 90-10 model. No? So that was the journey for that. No? I mean, no nothing. It's just like we improve the newspaper to a showbiz magazine. Walang kumopya. I mean, that was the learning from me. No? Now, okay, we learned from that mistake sa asin na patayan commodities. We don't want to repeat that. No? So now when I transition to showbiz, I put a premium. We learned from that. No? Okay, yung negosyo. That one thing that I did that learned and I'm still in progress was I don't have an exit plan. Okay, so RJ, to transition, RJ, is like I will always advise any entrepreneur, any gusto magnegosyo, when you plan a business, make a business plan, put an exit plan. Kasi sometimes when we do a business easy, it gonna stay with us forever, no? Mm-hmm. I apologize because there are some entrepreneurs thinking that, hey, when we do this one, let's keep it forever. But for me naman, when we do any negosyo, I want an exit plan na rin. Kasi after 5 years, anong gusto mo? Ibenta mo yung negosyo mo? Or kung may chance mag-IPO ka for exit, you can do something like that. No? So that was something that I did not learn from a showbiz magazine. But I realized that I want to do it now. Ano dapat yung gawin?
But how did you exit? So how and why did you exit the showbiz magazine industry?
Okay, it died natural death. Kasi nag-internet na. So everybody's looking for YouTube. Yung mga chismis natin, nasa internet na. So that time I was very disciplined also na. I don't want to go to online showbiz. I don't want to go to online showbiz because yung mahirap eh. The content is really on an R&R basis. No? So died a natural death. Then then after that, dumating na yung internet. No? So from the internet, that's a
transition. The disruption in technology. In simplest terms, parang nangyari. It's one of the earliest disruption technology, di ba? Parang ganyan.
Yes. Pero yung, remember, yung pinaka-lesson, I had an iPad app. You download the Chismax magazine, you browse, yung parang press reader, yan, yan.
Press reader.
Yeah, parang ganun type, no? Yun ang transition ko ng tech, no? Pero, I did not pursue that na kasi it's really costly for them to download. And remember, the OFW in Hong Kong that time, they don't own much of the smartphone pa eh. Wala pa eh.
Okay.
So, my market is not ready for that yet. So, kaya hindi ko natin tinuloy.
Got it. So, eventually, you allow that industry or the business to die a natural death. And finally, is this where we went to Mober? Now, how did the original Mober come about after the Showbiz magazine?
After the showbiz, I started an online Alibaba model. No? Alibaba was just starting 4 years. 4 years pa lang sila. We copied something like that here in the Philippines. No? But again, the market is not ready. To tell you, para sabihin na hindi pa ready, dial up pa tayo sa internet. Ano? To the millennials, ang dial up marinig. Tutututututu.
Naalala ko yan.
So, wala pa. So, that time was too early. Then, ang pinaka-mature dun, I remember, was Sulit. No? Sulit was doing online classified ads. Ako naman, I was doing a B2B type Alibaba model. But, hindi. We're so advanced. Again, on the sidetrack, RJ, you know, there are a lot of things that I would like to share sa entrepreneur that sometimes, kung ikaw yung nauna sa negosyo mo, ikaw yung una sa market, hindi din advantage. They're saying that the first mover advantage. So, for me, you know, it's very painful. It's very expensive because you have to educate the market. Eh. You have to educate. And masama dun, may pumasok dito na educate mo, may pumasok. Sila yung nakinabang. So sometimes, the first mover advantage, it's not really an advantage. It's not. Same with our, yun sa internet. No? So then, we pivoted to a taxi dispatching. Frankly, it's a taxi dispatching.
From the Alibaba model, parang you're selling things online. Why was the transition to become taxi dispatcher? What was the move na it would have been better using what you had to become a taxi dispatcher? Okay.
So again, my entrepreneur skills, like I always look for a problem. Mm-hmm. Then ano yung solution? Is that solution massive, right? The problem massive ba? If we give a solution, everybody will use it, right? So that time when I did the Alibaba type here, it was like gusto kong patayin talaga yung Yellow Pages. Na parang, okay, online na lang kayo, di ba? Hindi tayo mag-print ng papel. Sa online, you can do those things, right? Then, wala. We're so advanced. I remember I had this syobnow.com, parang startyouronlinebusiness.com. We're using a Magento plugin para magawa ka ng online. But these are the Shopee now. These are the Shopify now, right? So advanced. But hindi ready yung market, di ba? So this is sometimes that any entrepreneur has to also think, no? Baka hindi pa ready. Baka sayang. So from there, nawala. Then been thinking, yung mga radio, nagtataksi ako noon, may naman two-way radio. Sabi ko, ba't hindi natin palitan to ng isang technology na I saw one in Singapore, yung parang they put a tablet in the taxi, di ba? Pinalitan ng ganon, di ba? So the idea was, you can call pa rin, pero i-dispatch natin through the technology that any driver na pinakamalapit, siya ang kukuha. A semi, kwan pa yun. You can call, wala pang app, then the dispatcher will just type kung saan, ibablast sa nearest driver. Instead of a two-way radio. That was the idea. No? Honestly, the brand was Grab a Cab. I own the brand name Grab a Cab. And you know Franco Barona, right? I don't know if you met.
Yes, Franco Barona. He had also was it easy sa kanya Grab or easy
Grab
taxi time. Grab,
di ba? Oh, and I met Franco a few months ago. Kilala ko na siya before pa. Eh. Sabi niya sa akin, Dennis, you know, ikaw yung pinakakatakutan ng Grab before. So, ha? Why? Because you own the Grab a Cab brand. Hindi namin ma-trademark yung Grab. So, wala. Yeah, I mean, hindi nila ma-trademark yung Grab because I own the Grab a Cab brand, no? But again, I mean, sabi ko nga, we learn, no? Hindi naman ako privy sa mga trademark before. Yeah, I from a sin to this, wala. I know I traded Mark, the Mark, but wala, hindi ko natutukan. I was discouraged because when Grab came, Easy Taxi came, they were giving away phones to driver. I don't even know what a VC is. So okay, hindi na ako. So sinara ko na yung Grab. Then that's pivoted to Mobile na. Because okay. I have the technology similar na naman, nag-dispatch ka lang naman eh. Similar.
So dispatching, pero hindi na sa tao, kundi sa
app na.
Delivery.
Yes. Hindi na sa tao, ginamit ko yung model, nilagay ko sa delivery. So that's a transition na. That's why we came up with Mover.
Yeah. And what year was that, the transition to Mover?
2015.
Atong time na yun kasi, hindi pa masyadong usong-usa yung app, di ba? People were not super going online to... Yes. It's not like right now where you just program right now and you just type in your cell phone and bilis. But yes. what was it like operating that time to do this sort of like model na dispatch? Okay, papadeliver ako, who's in the area? Ganyan ba yan?
Wala na. That time kasi because of Grab and Easy Taxi before, na-educate na yung tao mag-download ng app. Okay. So sila na yung nagturo. Ako sumabay lang but on a different market, right? But the problem then before was magbubuk ako delivery. Paano kung kinuha? Tapos hindi dineliver. Saan ko hahanapin yung kargamento? So those were the mindset. And like, you were doing a Grab, Uber before, ako sasakay. Right? So eto, ipapadeliver ko, di ko naman kilala yung driver o yung magpipick up. Paano kung itakas? So those were the pain point that time, right? So that time, I was fortunate then because I was able to find SM Appliance Center. Na the market then was, yeah, walang same day delivery. So we're able to talk to them. Okay, kunin mo na to. Sila yung una kong client. Then we also started downloading the app. But again, RJ, that time, no VCs na gusto mag-invest sa Philippines. We're very early, you know? The optic.
Yeah, at the time, 2015, there were really no VCs. There were no venture capitalists looking at the country. That's why I'm very intrigued there because the time that you were, Dennis, medyo OG ka, di ba? Original gangsta ka na start sa negosyo. Wala pang, hindi pa uso yung mag-BBC, hindi pa masyadong uso yung mga app, hindi pa parang, hindi pa sexy yung pagiging startup, di ba?
Yes, I would say I was one of the first generation startup founder in the Philippines, 2015, right? So wala. I mean, no VC, the optics then, I think, was going to Indonesia. Everybody's in the Indonesia market, 2015. Lahat sila doon tumataya. So I bootstrap it. Slowly, I bootstrap it. Then...
Sa mga nakikinig dito ngayon, if you hear bootstrap... Galing sa wallet mo yan.
Yeah. So when you say bootstrap, galing sa wallet natin, tayo nag-fund ng negosyo natin, right? That was really painful then because laki ng burn eh. Because you want to download the app. This was a market of supply and demand, chicken and egg. Sinong papasokin? Yung driver muna. Kung wala kang bookings, aalis si driver. So those were really hard times before. No? So after that, may competitor na pumasok. Again, same experience with Grab before. Nandito ulit, di ba? But this time, instead as pivoting and umalis sa market sa industriya, naghanap na tayo ng niche market. So what we did now is we do a B2B, B2C, business to business and business to consumer. No? So we are now available in 100 malls. No? So ito yung pivot ni Mober na. Yung mga store sa mall, pwede sila mag-book ng Mober. We gave them an enterprise account. Tapos yung mga driver partner natin, naka-assign na sa mall. Kung ano oras sila nandoon. So, pag nag-book si store, let's say SM Appliance na nag-book, nandiyan na si driver. Hindi siya nagsa-search. So, we consolidate all the deliveries from a mall and we bring down the delivery fee because we're able to consolidate and we deliver it to sa consumer na. So, that's the model of Mover now. That's the model of Mover.
So, there's the secret sauce ninyo. I mean, because I understand also right now the delivery service app, like to make it simple, no, keep in mind, parang Grab for delivery. Many are getting into that. Many have been using that model, right? And what made Mober different was that you're a B2B to C model. Is that the only thing that makes Mober different? I'm just asking so I get a better understanding.
Sa ngayon, well, everybody's doing a B2C, B2B model, right? But their app is searching. They search for the nearest driver. So for Mober, kasi now, is Mober owns the driver, the vehicle na. We're an asset heavy na, RJ. We asset heavy na. I think I'm the crazy founder to dive into asset heavy. This is the reason why we do that, no? If you spend money onboarding more drivers to stay in your platform, the same amount if we buy our own vehicle, same amount lang. A difference lang dito. If you own the vehicle, if you own the fleet, yung reliability nandiyan eh. Kasi pag marketplace siya, crowdsource siya, pwedeng i-cancel yung driver, yung manong driver.
Ito yung pwede kasi sa'yo yan.
I mean, Ajay, let's do the fact checking. No? Kung si Grab nag-cancel ng booking mo, yung ride-hailing, kinancel ni Grab, you can go and find taxi, you can take a jeep, you can take a two-wheel app, diba? But sa delivery, pag kinansel ko yung delivery mo, RJ, papunta sa isang merkato. So, papa, yung negosyo mo ang affected eh. Hindi yung tao, yung negosyo mo eh, right? So, kung nag-promise ka ng delivery sa isang customer mo, at sinabi mo itong oras dahil nag-book ka, kasi hindi dumating yung driver na binook mo, ikaw masisira. Hindi naman ako eh. So, yun ang gusto namin pasabi sa client natin. Hey, if Mober, we'll make sure that we're partner here. Your brand is our brand. That's how we look at it. No? Then, moving forward, yeah, I'll let you know now. Paano kami transition sa EV?
Oh, but bakit mo nakita as opportunity? I mean, obviously, you saw the quote-unquote disadvantage of being first mover, right? I mean, that's just how I see it. And in this one, it looks like you are the first mover to transition to total EV, if I'm not mistaken. But right now, you're seeing it as an advantage for yourself. Is there a problem that you're trying to solve or an opportunity that you're seeing that we all don't see also right now with EV?
So with EV, no, we started EV because when IKEA Philippines opened, no, November 2021, we're one of the logistic partner that they tapped. So during the opening, they were asking me a year before to open, Dennis, can you help us with EV units? No? Look at up the manako because you know we're a startup, we're agile, we're, you know, I mean you mga ganung bagay, everything stops sa akin, no, as a founder, and they talk to me, so wala akong wall to push back, so just to find. As an entrepreneur that time, RJ, wala kang mabiling EV dito. Kasi wala. I was talking to Isakay, no? In fairness to Isakay, of Miralco. Sabi ko, meron ba kayong EV pwedeng pa rin sa akin o pwede hiramin sa inyo? So nakita ko yung Makati Mandaluyong na EV. If you look at the Makati Mandaluyong EV, can you imagine that box, right? Sabi ko, can I rent that? So i-wrap ko na lang, i-convert ko to a logistics so that when IKEA opens, I will show that na meron, di ba? But they're very kind, no? They one time they told me, "Dennis, meron kami EV van, ganito, kailangan mahal." So, wala. I mean, because we want the account of IKEA, no? We want to nurture that account. We know that we're in the same wavelength, no? That we want to grow our business. And if we have IKEA and the like of SM clients as our client, it gives credibility to Mobile. Kaya pinilit ko na. Yeah, so I bought that 2 units. Pikit mata, that's where it's really expensive. No? So, but when they opened, they were able to announce to the world that Philippine IKEA has EV. So that's a proud moment for the IKEA Philippines team to announce. And it's also a proud moment for Mobile to say, okay, here we are. We're a startup. We're able to give you the EV you want.
Yeah. And plus, I mean, to my mind, no, it's a strategic move for you to sort of cement that partnership. For you. I mean, it might not always make total financial sense if you speak of purely financial standpoint, but as an entrepreneur who has to make that strategic decision, and as from a marketing standpoint, it makes sense to me. But that's how I see it.
Because that time when they opened, we were assigned or given a very small lane, probably 5% lang total delivery ng buong IKEA. So the mindset, of course, we just aligned with them to show them that madali tayong kausap, no? So hoping that we get more lanes, no, more deliveries from them. That's true. True enough. Now Mober has 14 units of EV with IKEA. From 2, naging 14 na. So Mober fleet in IKEA is 100% EV na.
Wow.
So we're hoping that we can increase more. Mober has another 15 units in the pipeline. In case that they need more, we have that one. So doon na siya nagsimula, no? We started with IKEA. Then Nestle came, Nespresso came. There are companies, no, na they have mandate from corporate headquarters na, hey, you have to do EV.
So that was a bigger opportunity for you. Actually, that an opportunity which the people didn't spot, that actually it's aligned to their sort of sustainability goals of the larger companies.
Yes. So that's the window. But again, Arjun, as an entrepreneur, we all know that you cannot monopolize things. No? So I'm giving Mober a 2 years window that probably earlier pa may mga ibang papasok na. No? So what we're doing now is like, everybody's saying that it's EV, mahal, dapat may premium, right? Dapat may premium. But for me, on a business point of view, no? As a consumer, pag deliver ba sa'yo, RJ, na EV, will you pay more? or you pay the same, right? So, ako, I can answer it for myself. Pag deliver ko ba tong refrigerator siya pag EV, pwede bang 1,000 pesos ang delivery instead of 800? Of course, I will say no. Di ba? As a consumer, I don't care. Basta, mura delivery, yun, di ba? So on Mober side, no, we are trying our best to offer as neutral as the ICE. ICE, when I say ICE, it's internal combustion engine. Yung mga diesel natin, yung mga gas natin. Kung magkano yun, gusto natin ipantay lang. The point here is, the EV kasi cost 2x. Eh.
Wow.
For an L300, cost mong 800, 900,000. An EV van equivalent, mga 2 million pa. For a truck, na 6-wheeler, no? A truck of 1.4 million, the diesel, an EV truck is what? 4 million? Diba? So, di mo mababawi ang cost. No? But again, our current government is very supportive. No? I mean, siniro nila yung tariff when you import EV. No? But that one is mute and academic because most of our EV, commercial EV, got in China. And because of the AFTA, we have this AFTA, the ASEAN Free Trade, wala naman tariff na talaga pagaling sa China. So pag bibili ka lang na mga European-made na mga EV, yun ang may impact. No? Talagang mura, walang tariff. No? So for us, wala. Ang magandang support from the government is like, exempted ang EV sa coding.
Okay.
Right? So, one day of extra revenue for us for the next 5 years, that's a good return for us. That's our motivation to go EV.
Yeah, and actually for me, if you may allow me to add, no, because from our own marketing studies, what we're finding out is like for many of the millennial and Gen Z consumers is that they are willing to pay a premium if the product that they have will help them in their own small way to improve or better the world, right? I mean, that's why nagagalit sila pag may plastic straw sa market namin. Gusto nila na, ba't di kayo gumagamit ng wooden straw or reusable straw, di ba? Or the straw. So the same way that if, I'm just guessing, if the consumers are given a choice saying, hi, we're going to deliver to you using an EV versus ice, di ba?
Ice, yes.
Are you going to pay the premium, especially if you're talking to a millennial consumer, a millennial manager, does it? Of course, because it's, you know, that's my own contribution to improving the climate, diba?
I agree. I totally agree, and I stand corrected because I was talking at my point of view as a thunders, I would say. So yun ang mga isip na matatanda, no? But again, that is coming from a point of view of a consumer. So dapat yung customer natin na nasa end consumer, then they can also say, okay, we're serving you and delivering you using an EV, right? So dapat may awareness, like similar to IKEA, no? Every delivery that we have, we put a sticker, a big blue sticker saying that delivered by 100% EV.
Yeah,
we put it there. It's just an awareness campaign.
Yes. Parang naging marketing play tuloy, diba?
Yes. So yun, no? Again, so there are companies that really looking into the EV play, no? We're trying to our best, no, to make it as neutral as the ICE fee. Yun. Ang maganda lang sa EV, RJ, ang kuryente, hindi pwedeng tumaas ng 30%, 40%. Kasi regulated, right? I mean, pag tinaas si Meralco yan, magra-rally tayo. But ang gasolina, unregulated, they can just keep on increasing.
You talked about earlier on that, you know what, you might have a 2-year window at the most to be able to use this advantage that you have right now with EVs, right? You can't predict the future. You can see maybe see trends, but you can't predict the future. Again, going back to your own entrepreneurial background and inclination, what would you recommend to other entrepreneurs? How do you prepare yourself right now, Dennis, knowing that that's going to happen? What do you have to do next to make sure that, okay, this happens, I'm ready?
Okay. Again, I will now make sure that the exit plan will be applied this time, RJ. Remember, I did not have exit plan for the salt. I did not have exit plan for the magazine, right? So then I pivoted papunta dito. So I want to apply the exit plan, no? So I mean, the exit plan is really not for every entrepreneur, no? Just like for me personally, in the 2 years plan, itong 2 years, 2 to 3 years, I'll make sure that Mobber will really grow the market. If I can make it the top of mind na I don't see a direct competitor. Meaning I know there will be competitor, but the market is really big, no? What I'm saying is that if we look at the logistic company, like the LSP, we call it the logistic service provider, like Siba Logistic, DB Schenker, and itong mga malalaki, they don't own asset. They subcon. So we treat them as a partner, not as a competitor. Right? So ito yung gusto kong market. I mean, so what do I see after pumagpasok na sila? It's like if I can make Mobber the top of mind, then I can bring Mobber to the market and say to the other big companies, yeah, I have this big fleet of EV, I have this client, no? Maybe we can go out and we can sell it to them. That is my vision, no? Or if we can really grow it big and an opportunity for us to to replicate this in the region, meaning in Southeast Asia. So why not, right? I mean, yeah. Pwede naman gawin, di ba? If may chance, we can do that. If given a chance, we can replicate this as soon as possible, then we will do that, no? Then on the battery side, no, to educate our, to share lang with our viewer, no? Ang battery kasi, RJ, ng EV, pag umabot siya ng 80% capacity, hindi na siya enough to power an EV. But that 80% battery can be 100% for another usage, no? Another usage. Mm. So we have to find kung saan natin pwedeng dalhin, because most of our EV now, wala pa tayong kontrata with our supplier that they will buy back the battery. So we have to find ways. Kung wala na yung battery, that's 80% capacity, how to reuse it, no? How to retrofit it, kung paano. Yun ang gusto kong isipin. I have to research. I know the Chinese market, they know what to do now. So we have to learn kung paano, no? Because the EV battery life is 5 years. Then after that, we have to change battery na. Then another cost, another 5-year life of the EV. Yeah.
And what I'm seeing really from you, what I'm learning from you, Dennis, is the idea that it's okay to be passionate about the business or the art of doing business, but there's no need to be passionate about this is your business and I can't live without it. There's no need to be in love with the business. You love doing business, but not in love with the business. That's what I'm getting from you. Because from the salt to the magazine to Mover, if you sell it, it means that you love the business, you love doing business, but doesn't mean that you're in love, that you're so attached to it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes personally, I get bored. Na parang if I'm able to achieve itong gusto natin na of goal, right? Then I just feel that there are a lot of business panandyan na will challenge us. We can make us a better person, no? Now we have this EV playing on the side, no? I just realized that in my own little way, I help the earth, no? Kahit pa paano may emission. So probably the next venture, but sabi ko nga, di ba, we go back to our earlier talk that if I can build 10 startups and it is run by our current na mga co-workers office, right? So that's 10 instead of 1. Then let them grow. Doon na lang muna tayo. So those are things. So I'm passionate in what I'm doing. But once that you reach that end of journey, no, then it's running. No? Meaning, if the business can run by a professional CEO, na, then it's about time for you to let go and cash in and start another one who may passion. Yeah.
Got that. I have to say, this is one of the conversations I've learned so much, and I've appreciated so much from what you've had to share. Because I'm going to ask you, what are your management hacks? But you've already, actually, throughout our conversation, you shared from every part of the journey something that we can all take home. I guess what I want to ask you as we come to this part of the discussion, I didn't know we were running for an hour already. It's been such a lively discussion. You know, up to the last point, like this Ariel Nervais, Salvador, say, 100% in discussion, not that he really loves it. Elmer Di Pasupil earlier on saying he really likes our discussion. No? You know, because you're in logistics, because you're in EV or, sustainable energy or clean energy, as an entrepreneur, you're very good at spotting different opportunities coming up. But obviously, you can't just grab them all because you lose focus. But for you, what are the opportunities now that you've seen because of your work in EV, because of your work in logistics, that can still be leveraged by entrepreneurs, that they can still enter into, that even, starting entrepreneurs might have a chance to get into. Maybe those are your parting words for those listening here right now. Help them come up with new business opportunities in the industries where you operate in.
Well, on the logistics side, no, unfortunately, everybody's saying that our e-commerce is slow down after the opening, no, after opening of the pandemic, no. On the logistics side, RJ, frankly, there's a lot of hacks that anyone can still do, no. For example, you can do a cold chain, a micro cold chain business. Pwede yun, marami doon na pwede gawin because you cannot buy ice cream and pa-deliver sa iyo na galing sa isang lugar to malayo, no. So you can bring that cold chain to that area, no. So two, we're doing electric tuk-tuk. Electric tuk-tuk, right? I mean, they call it electric tuk-tuk, but it's not for passenger, but it's not also for parcel delivery, but you'll be surprised it's for cake deliveries, no? Because Because a refrigerated van, a malaking refrigerated van, pag hindi kasi kayang isang load, isang delivery ng isang bake shop, no? So you have to do multiple drops, no? So darating sa isang last branch, tapos na yung araw, yung one life, shelf life, yan, no? So we're doing this electric tuk-tuk. So, again,
sorry, let me interrupt you. This is the first time people are reacting. Sabi ni John Mark Bautista, cold chain is a good idea. Then the Christian Manzana saying, thumbs up all the way. And 100, 100, 100. Really great ideas coming out. And John Mark Bautista, if you come with your small-scale cold chain delivery, dapat may equity dyan si Dennis ng kaagad, ha? Sige, please, Dennis, continue.
I can be your co-founder. So, and, marami pa, no? Marami. Let's jump into the wagon na bumili ako ng sakyan tapos mag-deliver ako ng last mile for the big e-commerce, no? Because that negosyo is really bloody competitive, no? Patayan sa presyo. Look for something, no? I mean, don't rush yung negosyo. Don't rush. Isip lang. I mean, marami dyan na pwede natin i-disrupt, no? I mean, I just want to use the word disrupt pa, no? If we can disrupt Mober, or we can disrupt Grab, then I think, wala, di ba? RJ, Grab disrupted the taxi industry, Mober, and the like of Mober disrupted the delivery industry, right? So why think of something that can disrupt Grab or disrupt Mober, right? You disrupt the disruptor, I mean, so yun, di ba? Those are the things that I would like to share with our audience, no? Na huwag mawala ng negosyo. Huwag mawala ng loob, no? Pero, again, sometimes yung negosyo kasi, RJ, is not for everybody. I don't know if you will agree with me because I heard a lot of things that, ayoko na magtrabaho, magninegosyo na lang ako kasi sarili ko yung oras, no? But when you start your own business, yung 8 to 5 mo, kulang. Hanggang madaling araw.
Pwede mo na negosyo mo. Pwede mo na kas kulang pa yan, di ba? Para sa negosyo mo, di ba?
So, like me, no? I don't experience weekend. Di ko na alam kung weekend yun. Kasi even weekend, you work. No? But again, it's not healthy. Frankly, it's not healthy. Dapat you do your time management. I wish, no? RJ, that to sabi mo nga sa akin, ano yung management hack na gusto ko kung mababago ko. When you start a business, make sure that your accounting process, accounting, is intact on day one. Parate. Kasi sometimes, when you start a business, ade, ako lang naman eh, wala naman akong kapartner. So, in, out, okay lang. Saka na natin i-record yung libro, no? But no. Day one pa lang, dapat na-record na. Kasi by the time that you grow it, by the time that there are investors who's willing to invest na sa'yo, babalik ka doon at gagawin mo pa rin yun. Right? So, nangangarag ka. So, ngayon pa lang, accounting, please. Kahit maliit, start small, easy to manage, then make sure that maayos, no? Hindi yung pag may investor na saka ka mangangarag at bumalik. That's not something that I want you to do. That's the mistake that I made, no? So, now, nangangarag kami, we're fixing it. So, yun. That's one thing that I want to share.
Well, thanks so much, Dennis. Dennis, this has been one of the most enlightening sessions I've had here so far. And thank you for being very frank in sharing your experiences. I'm sure so many people can learn from it. But what I've learned from it is really a lot of grit. And yung parang it's a never say die attitude. But okay lang, natalo ako, okay lang. You know, it happens, di ba? I mean, it's a very, you know, pragmatic way to look at business. I'm sure many people can appreciate it. And thank you also for everything that you're doing for the environment.
Thank you.
Inadvertently because of what you're doing for Mover. So again, thank you so much to Dennis Nang, CEO of Mover, for joining us here on the RJ Ledes podcast. We'll see you guys again in the next RJ Ledes podcast. Again, thanks guys. Thanks for listening. Dennis, thank you again.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you, RJ. Thank you.
Thanks.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.